I'm a best boy every day, my friend.
What does the best boy do on a film set? I always laugh. I always juggle in the credits. And I always try to not find the best boy. I'm like, I want to kind of be the best boy.
He just sits there and everybody pets him. It's like, oh,
who's the best boy?
Who's the best boy?
Who's the stress
it's usually like a golden retriever.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
It's day three of the podcast. David is still alive. We haven't had to order him an IV to the room yet, which is
not
great.
Yet.
And we have a very special guest that I am excited to introduce. The one, the only, Jason Buff. Jason, thank you for joining us.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me here on the podcast. It's really nice to be here.
How'd you like my timpani?
Amazed at all the, you know, this is like, I had a podcast many, many years ago and it was like, you know, nowhere near the complexity that you guys have. This is just amazing. I'm very impressed. So
season one, I had no idea what I was doing. I just had a little Zoom, you know, and I didn't know about audio bleed and the thousands of dollars I had to spend on an audio engineer to fix it.
What's audio bleed?
So like four of the mics, I remember we were down in, Puerto Rico doing it. We're all sitting around table.
Oh,
and everyone's, so these mics, they're all piped into the Zoom recorder that everyone has, like the H6.
Yeah.
And they're all plugged in, but there's no way to like mix. So like my audio is being picked up over there. So it sounds like an echo chamber when it sounds terrible. So someone had to go in and like afterwards mix all four levels. And it was thousands of dollars. And then after that, like long before this thing was invented, we did it analog. So we had an analog mixer, which was like $1,000.
Right.
And you needed to know someone who had a master's degree in all of that to travel with us to do it. And then you still had to pay someone to mix it. But this thing, I don't know, it's been out for like 3 or 4 years.
And
like anyone can do it. If I can do
incredible.
This, anyone can do it.
Wow.
They have like the MIDI keyboard built in. So you can just like do sound effects, change.
Oh, what sound effects do you have? Do you have like funny ones?
Yeah, I've been loading them up.
Do you have like a rim shot?
Oh, you know, I don't have a rim shot, but
that would be,
you know, so this one
we'll be using that one a lot.
This one
today is
a lot of like a lot of video games and like, you know, like I've been loading that one up, but you know, I always use them at the wrong time and sometimes it startles the guests.
Inappropriate.
Not, yeah. Well, that's my middle name.
My father passed away. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
I didn't mean to push the level up one. I meant to push
that's still inappropriate.
Yeah.
So Jason, for the people that don't know you, how would you describe yourself?
I'm dashing. I don't know, you
through
know,
the snow?
Yeah, well, you know, people tell me that I'm I grow a good beard and so I'm happy with that. I don't grow a good head of hair. I'm a photographer who primarily shoots in the studio. I've you know, started out trying to work in the film industry, and I was born in a small town. I was born, you know,
just a small town boy.
I come from North Carolina, and lived most of my early years there and then went straight out after graduating from, I went to UNC Chapel Hill, go Tar Heels, and went straight to LA I went to San Francisco and I worked at one of these little video places where they, you know,
like Blockbuster?
No, like is this place called Circle Video? I don't want to throw them under the bus. I don't think they exist anymore. We're talking like 1996. Okay, so
they don't exist.
If they're not Netflix, they don't exist anymore.
But they were like, they would do things like depositions and like little local commercials and everything. And I was just like, yeah, I want to work in the biz. You know? So I thought that was like my, I was getting my foot in working at Circle Video, but I did learn a lot about like After Effects and, you know, Photoshop and stuff like that. So every little thing, you know, if you're trying to learn this stuff, you know, as long as you're working kind of in the general field and learning new things. So I actually learned a lot there, even though it was like a terrible job. I was a cameraman for a while. I used to take all kinds of classes on lighting for filmmaking and stuff. And so my goal was always to be a filmmaker. And still to this day, I kind of consider myself a filmmaker who got sidetracked into becoming a photographer. And I never had any desire to be a photographer because I just thought it was kind of an impossible goal, you know, because just it's so, I don't know, it just seems like it was in a way harder, you know, to like stick out as a photographer, you know, and this is back in like 35 millimeter days, you know, so so I worked in the film industry just very kind of.
Were you ever a best boy?
I'm a best boy every day, my friend.
What does the best boy do on a film set? I always laugh. I always juggle in the credits. And I always try to not find the best boy. I'm like, I want to kind of be the best boy.
He just sits there and everybody pets him. It's like, oh,
who's the best boy?
Who's the best boy? The stress it's relief. Usually like a golden retriever.
Stress relief.
Named, you know, Mike or whatever. But yeah, I basically worked as like a grip. So I would work under
the gaffer.
Because
you get it.
Yeah. And get a grip. I didn't realize when I went out to LA, I mean, this is also back when you couldn't just make movies on your own, really. You had to like work your way up in the industry.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize was that most of the people in LA are contractors, you know? So it's like, basically like,
it's a nice way to describe them.
Well, you know, like they do construction and they, you know, like they work in their thing, but they're not like creative people, you know? I mean, there are the creative people, but most of the people out there are people that work under the person and under, you know, so I would work in the editorial department, but I would never like chime in with, oh, maybe you should.
This is how we
change.
Do things. Yeah.
They're like, Jason, hey, guy that makes the coffee, come in here and tell us how we should edit this movie. But it was really cool. I would be around, like Roland Emmerich was like in the room beside us, and I was working on a thing, this movie this that nobody will have ever seen called The Wood, that was an MTV and Paramount movie back when MTV was a thing. And so I would go in there and just kind of look and watch what everybody was doing. And I had one person tell me, you know, if you want to be a filmmaker, don't do what you're doing, you know, because you're just going to end up working your way up and then maybe becoming an editor.
Great boy. Know.
Yeah.
Maybe great boy.
You might be you're a mediocre boy right now. Just work your way up to best boy. So I ended up leaving and I was like, you know. And also my car got stolen and there was a whole big police thing.
What kind of a car was it? Was it a Bronco?
Why did you have to ask me that? Oh. It was the ugliest teal green Ford Escort.
Oh, yeah. That,
and I saw one recently and teal I told green. My son, I was like driving behind this teal green Escort station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
That, yep. I remember those Focus station wagons.
Hey, yeah. Groceries need to be gotten.
I told my son, I was like, son, that's the car that I had when I was living out in L.A. And he was just like, man, that's embarrassing, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. But I thought I was cool. And the guy that I worked with was this guy named Dirk Westervelt, who's now, like, he edited.
That's a power name.
Yeah.
Dirk Westervelt.
Dirk Westervelt.
Did he command the room then when he walked in?
He's a badass now. Because
how could you
he
not
did,
be with that name?
I think he edited Deadpool. Like, oh, he's, like, up there now. He edited the, what was the Wolverine movie? The last
Logan.
One. Logan. He edited Logan. So don't fuck with Dirk Westervelt.
Yeah. Like, he's no, like, I mean, why wouldn't fuck with him with that name, period?
I'm super
excited.
He'd just
walk into the room and I'd be
the
like,
new Deadpool bringing back Wolverine? Oof.
He might have edited that one. Like, I always see his name on stuff. And
I'm excited to see John Wick 4.
Yeah. How many bullets do you think he's going to dodge?
I just want to know how many people are going to die. The body count has been going up significantly with every
season. He dodges
so
many bullets.
He takes a lot of them in the super bulletproof regular clothes vest that totally exists.
That's a thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if we were in the seedy underworld of Las Vegas, we would know about the bulletproof suits.
Yeah. We'll have to ask Rich how the seedy
underbelly. Yeah, Rich knows all about the seedy underbelly.
So Rich, who's shooting the 360 part of Pro EDU, he's been talking. This is his first time in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help us understand. He wants to find the seedy underbelly of Las Vegas. And I keep asking him, like, so what is the seedy underbelly? And I don't think he quite knows yet, but it is.
I think if you talk about it,
several layers deep.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try to find it.
And I keep asking
maybe
him,
maybe later tonight or tomorrow. And I'm like, how do we know when we're in it? He goes, bro, you know when you're in the underbelly.
You know, and you don't talk about
he's
it.
He's, you know, we can't it. See him, but I'm sure he's giggling right now.
Old Vegas.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, like we asked him about later, like, is it Fremont? But apparently it's below Fremont. We don't know where it is.
Yeah, and it's not a strip club. It's not. Like, it could start at a strip club, but many things would have to happen after the strip club.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, now we're talking. So it's like,
and
it's the beginning of a movie.
I can't figure out if it's like we're breaking into a crime spree or we're just like going down in levels of debauchery. I don't know. I don't understand what it is that we're doing here. Like, are we just like exploring the criminal underworld and then seeing how far down we can get? Or are we starting just, I don't understand.
I feel like we have to meet some locals who are already on an adventure trying to figure something out. We become part of their plan or their story, and then we help them maybe. I don't know.
Like it's the Odyssey or something? Like
friends become enemies, and
the hero comes rolling in, and then we're like the NPCs in the game.
There's got to be at least
three close calls. It never works out well for the NPCs. Yeah. Never.
I think you got to start by just being somebody's bitch.
I need to be the primary. I need to be the star.
Yeah.
I need to be the primary role so I don't die.
All right, so back to photography. Sorry.
Yeah,
tangent. All right.
Well, that was a nice tangent. Yeah. We're back now.
It was an acute
welcome back
tangent.
To the show.
If we didn't have one of those at least twice in an episode, it wouldn't be a real episode.
So
John Wick,
where do you live and where do you work?
Well, I live in a small town. Well, actually, it's everybody thinks that I live kind of like in the middle of like this little pueblo, and like I ride my horse to, you know, work or whatever. But I live in a city called Merida in Yucatan, and I mean, to give you an idea, it's like we have, I mean, this isn't, we have like five Walmarts. I don't know if that's like
five of them.
A way to judge. We have like five Sam's Clubs. We probably have 10 Walmarts.
10 Walmarts?
10 Sam's Clubs, 20 Walmarts. We have Starbucks. We have, it's like a very modern
city. What's Sam's Club in Mexico like?
It's like Sam, I don't know. I don't know what Sam's Club is like in the U.S. I've never been.
Well, oftentimes they do
road trip.
The thing I like about the Sam's Club or Costco, they have Mexican Coke in the glass bottles.
Right. You know, it has a Coke from Mexico, yeah.
So do they not have Mexican Coke down there? Is it just American Coke?
Oh, they have Mexican Coke down there.
I don't know. Well,
we don't want to get into that.
If it's a true bizarro world, they would have American Coke in the cans, not the glass bottles.
They do.
I think it's just called Coke down there.
Yeah. It's just like, are you going to have
they're
Mexican
food?
They're
like, hey, give me a Mexican Coke.
Food?
And they're like, that's just redundant.
Just a Coke, yeah.
Like, we're Americans, too. We we were doing a workshop, and we had some Brazilians come up. I don't know how we got talking about it. And I go, it's an American thing. He goes, we're Americans, too. We're from South America. I'm like, oh, I never thought about that. I was like, you identify as American? I'm like, I'm pretty sure when you say American. People don't think of South Americans, right?
No.
Yeah. But he was offended all of America.
I mean, we do that all the time. We will be like, well, we're North Americans then. And then we forget about Canada and forget about Mexico and like, it's whatever.
The problem is, here's the problem. They never established a name for somebody from the United States. So you can't say I'm a United Statesian. You can't say I'm a Mexican or you can't say I'm a Canadian.
We claimed American. We're like,
just say we're American because it's like, you
stole it like everything else.
Yeah. But yeah,
it's how we got everything. We just rolled in and said that shit's ours now.
Yeah. Well, it's like, most of that, we just kind of like, screw the rest of the world. We're kind of like the center of everything. Hi, everybody.
and speak our language, damn it.
All right. So how did you decide to move to Mexico?
Oh, I just like, I mean, I live with like tons and tons of stress. Like I'm a big basket case of anxiety. So I have really bad ADD and all kinds of, you know, I'm sprinkled with the tism. So, you know, it's like I never fit in with like the kind of 9-to-5 world. And it was a different world. You know, I went down there when it was 2002. So, you know, things weren't the way they are now with the internet and with, you know, whatever. Anyway,
damn it,
God, start over. But I went down there, and it was really funny because one of the reasons why I went was a friend of mine told me, you know, really the only way that you can learn another language is to go to a place where they don't speak your language. And you're forced to, like, there's some animal instinct in your brain that's like survival that makes you like say, okay, I'm gonna have to learn this language or I'm not gonna be able to buy some beer. the important things.
Yeah, it kicks in real quick. Yeah. Wait, no cerveza?
But yeah,
We're gonna learn it.
I met my wife like the second month I was there. I saw this girl sitting across from me at the bar.
What was
I
the light like? Walked over. Describe the light.
I was like,
what was happening?
Buenos dias, senorita. And she was like, I really am not interested at all.
She responded back in English?
Yeah, she speaks perfect English. And I was like, ¿cómo estás? And she was like, no. My name is no. Just keep walking. And I persisted. And actually, she brought me home that night.
Ooh. Like,
no, I mean, not, you know, Yucatecans are very, very, you know, conservative. So she took me home in her car and gave me a fake number. There's actually a card that she gave me that had a fake number. And then she was like, all right, I think one of the problems was that she didn't believe my name was Buff. I was like,
does it mean something silly and like,
no, but she was just like, what? That's not a name. She's like, that's really Buff. I guess she was like seeing the future where like she might have to
adopt
that name. No, I told her the first night I met her, I was like, you should get used to that name because that's going to be yours one day, you know. And
the night.
The first night I met her.
He's moving in straight off.
I knew. I knew like right from that moment that this was like, well, you know, I think I pretty much, I was a little drunk. I was feeling kind of, flirty.
When you know.
Yeah, but anyway, so she ended up kind of like, distant, you know, not calling me back and not like wanting to have anything to do with me. She ghosted me before ghosting was even like a word. And then one night, apparently she called my house that I was living with a family, you know, and it was like she called in the middle of the night at like 3 o'clock drunk. I don't know if she was drunk. I assume she was drunk, but her name came up in the little thing.
We have a word for this one now, too.
What?
Getting called in the middle of the night by a drunk person.
What is it?
Some booty call.
Oh. Yeah, well, oh, okay. You know, she wanted some booty. So
see?
Anyway.
There he is.
Some boofy.
She wanted some of that Buff. She's like, I got a hankering for some Buff right now.
Trying to get buffed out.
Wake up in the middle of the night. Like
Buff on, Buff off.
But she didn't know that the person that like the, I mean, I lived with this like old couple, you know, so we're not talking like I was living in like a hip place or anything. I was literally living with two old, you know, probably in their 70s or 80s, and they rented a room to me there, you know. And she was like, there was a phone call last night, and I think it was from this girl that, you know, that you were talking about. And I was like, really? And so I called her and I was like, hey, you know, I think you called me. And she's going to love that. And hopefully she'll never hear this because she denies this to this day. I was like, I think you called me at like 3 o'clock in the morning last night. And she was like, no, that wasn't me. Why would I call you at 3 a.m? And I was like, well, there's a caller ID that says the hour and it has your name on it. And she was like, quiet. And she was like, oh.
It wasn't me.
It's like, I guess my sister called or something. I must have butt dialed you or something. But yeah, so we've been together. That was 2002. We've been together, you know, all that time. So it's been over 20 years.
So what's the Yucatan like?
Yucatan's amazing. The only problem with Yucatan is the heat. And the heat is like unbearable. So people that go down there, it was really interesting because when I first got down there, everybody, like all the expats, like we're talking like 2002, there was an expat party and almost everybody who was in the expat community could fit at a table. And now there's literally thousands and thousands, you know, just tons of people from Canada, from US, from Europe. And it's just become like, you know, you can't move in traffic anymore. It's gotten out of control. And I don't really, and most of those people, the good thing about it is they kind of renovated downtown, and downtown's a lot more hip, you know, like a lot of places. But, when I first went down there, I really felt like I was, like, one of the only, I mean, I didn't even hear English for a long time, you know. Unless I was with my wife, I would be, like, with her family or whatever, and just, just picked it up, and one day you're just like, oh, I'm speaking, you know. And the really interesting thing about Yucatan, if I can go into it, is that people still speak Mayan down there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you go down, the way that Yucatecans speak is very, very like, the accent is based kind of on the Mayan accent. So they have this really interesting way of talking. And if you go into really isolated areas, Spanish is the second language. The first language is Mayan. And so if you watch the new Wakanda Forever.
Oh, yeah.
They're speaking Yucatecan Mayan.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. That's a real thing. Even though nothing that they show in that movie is accurate towards like Yucatan. It's like people living in huts and stuff. And it's like, yeah, insulting. Literally. It's pretty much insulting the way that they show Mexico in pretty much every, you know, they put that yellow haze filter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like,
yep.
There is that, but there's a lot more going on.
What was
on.
That movie that did that big the first time? And like in Mexico, everything was yellow, then everything here was blue, and there was.
Yeah, Sicario might have been one of those.
Yeah. All right. So what's the craziest thing that's happened? So there's a lot of old history in the Yucatan, right? Mm-hmm. Is this where the pyramids are at?
Yeah.
Have you ever met someone down there that has seen aliens?
So you want to know the
yeah. Well, the I want to get into the underbelly of Yucatan.
Okay, so this is an exclusive, guys, but there are aliens.
That yeah, 100%. Live underneath. I'm glad you're pro alien.
Okay, so yeah, we've come in contact with. There's a lot of like weird shit, but you know I can't really talk about the.
You can't tell us about the Yucatan unless we go.
There are people who will find out, and they'll take me out.
You know, all right.
They'll put me back up in the ship. Oh. No, but really, there's a lot of. It's a very superstitious culture. My wife is very, you know, she's. It's really cool. I'm not like into much of that, but there is a lot of that down there. You know, of. Kind of magical thinking and stuff, you know, and I think that's in most of like the Latin American world is like, you know, it's kind of a mixture of religions and kind of magical thinking and, you know, whatever.
Well, it's like they basically were the first to do the whole mushrooms, you know, like it came from there and then we went down there and ruined it. You know,
is that right?
Well, yeah. So I guess it was the early 50s or 40s.
Right.
There was rumors of a village in Mexico and they were using mushrooms for medicine and rituals and ceremony. And so like a writer went down there and tried it for the first time, then brought them back. And it was like, they wrote like a 4 or 6 page, it was People magazine or Life magazine, one of the only like big magazines.
Right.
Had like a 6 page spread.
You might want to explain what magazines are.
Yeah.
Listening audience.
For those
they
listening.
Used to be like these things that are on your iPad, except you didn't have to swipe to turn. Well, you just kind of had to lift the whole page.
Yep. They stuck together depending on the magazine.
I mean, depending on the magazine.
Yeah.
You know what I love about digital magazines is though they've made that animation where like
I bet you like that.
And turning it. That's so weird.
Such simple man.
Just flip it.
Simple man. So anyway, then they were brought back and now.
The rest is history.
Well, they kind of, like, everyone went down to this village and kind of ruined the village. And the lady ended up committing suicide because all the villagers hated her and blamed her for all the gringos coming down and kind of trashing everything.
Why don't you play, like, a funny sound effect there? That would be a good moment.
Bro, killed it.
Damn, you did kill it.
He didn't.
That's rough.
That was rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was no reverence.
Inappropriate.
Too soon.
Way too soon.
Too soon.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's basically all of... Like, Mexico is, like, the foreigners came in and kind of screwed it up. But, you know, whatever. The interesting thing, too, there is that it's a very...
Not him as a foreigner, other foreigners.
Other foreigners.
Well, he's local.
Yeah. No, I'm cool.
He's not a gringo.
He is now.
Yeah.
I mean...
Do they call you gringo? Gringo?
If I wasn't 6'4 and about a foot, you know, at least a foot taller than everybody, even the tallest people, I don't like... I'm kind of weird around people, like... speaking English when I'm down there. So it used to be that I felt very kind of like I was in my own little world down there. Now I go to Costco and you'll hear like, look over here, honey. I'm just like, no, come on. No, go away. And they'll just talk to people down there just in English, and they're just like, you know, can you tell me what? And they're just like, no entiendo, ¿qué estás? You know, they're like, why are you talking to me in English? This is Mexico.
But yeah.
There's a lot of
quick way to get kidnapped.
Privilege down there.
Big time.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of kidnapping in Yucatan's pretty chill with that stuff. My wife thinks I'm very naive though. So there's if you want to know like the real secret stuff, she's the one that kind of knows like what's really going on. Because she just looks at me like I'm like a baby who's just like, yeah, well, you know, that doesn't happen. And we can just like leave the house with the door open. It's okay. And she's like, no, we will be robbed. But
they're usually right.
But it's funny because a lot of the people that have come down there to live, you know, they have no idea what's going on either. You know, they just think, oh, it's this sweet culture and all these little happy people. And they're very kind of condescending. And it's like there's a whole like, you know,
underbelly.
You guys in the freaking underbelly.
I don't know. I want bacon, though.
We're really interested.
I want the underbelly of a pig. I could go for some bacon right now. We didn't have breakfast.
This is the most ADD podcast I've ever been on.
Yeah, we don't have. Well, we have well, no,
speaking of bacon,
we have no agenda. All right, so photography.
Hard facts.
Photography.
What, was there a question?
There's a camera, lights. You do it. You create.
Yeah,
it.
I occasionally will, you know, do what we call this, the photography. You
know. Oh, I know a good question. Mm-hmm. Socks and sandals, yes or no?
It really depends if it's cold or not.
Oh, uh-huh. See?
It doesn't depend.
And depends on how cool your socks are.
It doesn't depend. You don't wear chanclas with socks.
Where are you going, though?
Chanclas?
Chanclas.
Chanclas? What are chanclas?
They're flip-flops.
They're old man flip-flops?
Chanclas are what your Mexican moms throw at you would have freaking beat you when you're doing something stupid.
Oh, wow. Who's this character?
Yeah. Chancla, huh?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that a word you ever heard?
No, he just made that up.
Yeah.
No,
thank you. Okay. I think you're thinking of Chaco, and you added a few words, letters in there.
No.
David's the king at adding letters into words or switching one. It's great. He loves it.
Yeah, chanclas are, like flip-flops.
Oh, so it is a thing.
Yes, of course it's a thing.
That's not a word. Oh. Do you have like an ant over there? For?
Let's see. No. I mean, we could do this one.
Fight.
Now you guys go for it.
If you screw up around a Mexican mom, and you will be, she'll be beating you with your chanclas. Yeah.
All right, so you teach a lot of workshops, and this is something that you travel around and do.
Right, I can get my hooks into this question.
Yeah, let's
do it.
That's it. Go take it from there. Okay. Talk about your workshops.
I do workshops, so if you want to learn photography, I teach you kind of how to do that.
That was a good sales pitch. I kind of like teach you how to do that.
Well, I mean, a guy asked me the other day, he's like, where do you put your flash? And I was like, you just move it until it looks cool. And it's like, oh, okay, thanks, man. It's like, yeah, see ya.
What's like, the number one question that people have in workshops?
What's that preset that you use to get that look?
You know? What's your shutter speed right now?
What's
your shutter speed at?
It's weird because I teach in a very different way. I never planned on becoming a teacher, and it sounds cheesy or whatever, but like whenever I would work with people, I just was doing it kind of as a hobby when I first started, you know, and I just really wanted to get good, but I would also get excited about like what I was doing. So I would share it with the person, like, I'd be working with some model or some just random person or whatever, and I'd be explaining what I was doing. And they could have, you know, they were just like, why are you telling me all this? Like, you know. And so another guy was with me one day, and he was like, why aren't you teaching this? Like, you are very natural. Like, you just have a natural excitement for it. I was like,
good question.
Nobody's, thank you. I said,
good answer.
I said, nobody would ever go to a class that I was teaching. Who am I? I don't know any of this. I mean, it's just a hobby. It's just something I enjoy doing. You know, people go to these big name people or whatever. So, and I wasn't really making any money as a photographer at the time. I was just doing it as like for fun. And I decided one day, one thing that actually kind of made me want to do it was I went to a really bad workshop. And that gave me some confidence.
Names? Who was it?
This was a guy. I will. I'll never tell you. But
do something that rhymes with his name.
I keep looking at the camera.
Like, yeah, that's good.
Hi, folks.
Yeah.
Give me on camera B here. Okay, let me
camera B.
Let me
zoom in. Zoom in. Too close. Too
right
close.
Here. Right here. Right here.
That sounds like punch avoidance in? Of the answer. But no. It rhymes with.
No, I won't even do that. Yeah. I've gotten in trouble in the past with that.
Yeah.
I don't name names.
We're not that type of podcast.
Yeah.
I love
everybody.
I like to throw myself. This is a self-deprecating podcast. You throw anyone on the bus, better be yourself. Or David.
I'm always fair game.
Yeah.
It was this pro EDU class that I took, and I was like, if I could do that, I could nail that.
They're the worst.
It's like, this guy doesn't know what they think they are. At all.
I don't know.
But... Canceled.
Canceled.
Well, we've had fun talking to you, Jason, today.
And our next topic. I just have that one listed as transition.
And now.
New subject.
We're back. No, but seriously, I would like watch people. Like I when I first got into Photoshop, there was no like internet videos that you could watch, you know. I mean, I feel like an old man talking. It's like back in my day, you know, we didn't have
back in 1902.
Video. We had Real Player, and you know, you couldn't watch like tutorials online and everything. So I ordered this thing called Total Training, which doesn't exist anymore. And it was this gigantic pack of VHS cassettes.
Nice.
And it was right around the time eBay had just started, Amazon had just started. So, and I was totally broke. So I was like, okay. I'm going to buy these VHS cassettes. I'm going to watch them because it was like $200. And then I'm going to sell them back on eBay and basically have a free education with Photoshop. And I just like that was completely life changing for me. You know, I just sat there and I was like, I know that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to, you know, and at the time I was a graphic designer. There was no relationship between Photoshop in my mind and photography. It was all about doing, you know, I'd do these cheesy, like, if you remember, like, early 2000 websites that would have, like, that gel bar, you know, and everything was kind of three-dimensional, and you would make everything kind of a little transparent and everything. And I was the king of making these cheesy websites where, you know, Flash, I would do a lot of Flash.
Yep.
And, like,
thank God that's dead.
Intros, you know, I was the king. I was, like, I put all my money down on that. I was, like, I'm going to be a Flash animator. And I'm going to, you know, when this thing develops, it's going to turn into filmmaking and whatever. And so I learned ActionScript, and they immediately changed that to another, like, you know, they had a programming language. And I was really into Photoshop and just, like, would work with, you know, became a graphic designer for a lot of years. And the nice thing about that was I could just work wherever I was at. That's what enabled me to move to Mexico, was I could just do that, you know, from whatever, you know, when I moved down to Mexico, I actually had to go and buy a really long telephone line. And at night, like Jabu Studio, which is my company.
.com.
.com.
But that started at that little house with that old couple. And I would sneak the telephone line into my room and connect to the internet at night. And I would upload and download, like, graphic design projects that I had done, you know.
When they got the internet bill, how pissed were they the first month?
They didn't do anything because it was just, you know, like it was AOL, you know. Put that disc in.
Okay.
And you would just have AOL, and then I would just connect, and there was no like cable line or anything. There were no modems then. There wasn't even Wi-Fi, didn't even exist then, you know.
Yeah, it was just through the phone line, yeah.
Just through the phone line, and you'd hear that weird noise and yeah. That was like how I started out, and for years I would work with Photoshop. And so when it finally came, like when I started to feel more comfortable with jumping into photography, it was like I already had 20 years of using Photoshop. And so when I would watch people do tutorials and stuff who were like photographers who kind of tagged on the Photoshop, you know, they kind of learned it after they learned the photography, I was always like, there's a better way to do that. You know, like they don't, maybe you're not seeing the way that you can like use this for that or whatever. And so I was like, well, I can teach that way. You know, I can teach Photoshop. I was a really mediocre photographer, but I could make my stuff look really cool for the time. It looks terrible now, but I could make it look really cool in Photoshop, you know? So that became a really long story. Sorry.
No, it's good.
I'm trying to keep it interesting. So just be like, next. I tend to ramble.
And next up. All right, so Jason, let's talk about, we've got something in the works. Let's talk about it.
Very exciting.
So we're going to, at the point now, we are creating three projects, and it might change a little bit, but the first one is all about continuous light. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're in pre-production and planning now. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about this?
Oh, man, I feel so good.
Right?
It just feels right.
We're just going to explore everything with continuous light, which we've actually been talking about a lot
with a lot of people.
Like seven episodes. It's become so accessible
and
just so fun and, you know, just cheaper to use.
And not as hot.
I've burnt my finger. I can't feel anything in my left hand because of the hot Arri lights.
Oh, so I have some of like those.
Is that would explain the claw that you have.
I have some of those like old school Mole Richardsons in my studio, like the huge ones. And you turn those dudes on, I mean, like, you don't need a heater.
Yeah.
They're hot.
And the smell is just delicious.
It's really yummy.
Mm-hmm. You can just put like some bacon on there and.
Yeah. Yeah.
A leg of lamb.
But now. With all the LEDs.
Where did all these people come from?
Everything's getting cheap.
Oh. So and now, is this the sexy portion of the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're going to.
What are you the most excited about? What are you going to. How are you going to package up everything you know about your workshops and turn it into this?
Well, this Gary, I'm glad you asked me that question because I've given it a lot of thought.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure, but I want to do something that's a little different than what, you know, I feel like there's a lot of things that are important to me that I never see in workshops and things like that. So the thing that I love about continuous light is, you know, it used to be that in order to get a good CRI value, I believe that's the term, which is basically like how well the light, you know, reflecting, you know, usually I say these things and then
C is like, for crunchy, right? And how crunchy it is.
Yeah. The C is for crunchy, you know, J is for jacks, but you know, it's like the LED technology with, companies like Nanlite, .com. They have enabled you to get really beautiful images. And the nice thing about it is you can light more kind of like you're lighting for like cinema or something, you know?
Yeah.
So you can actually see what you're working with and bounce light around and stuff. And I love flash. I mean, I've worked with flash for years, but the problem with flash that I run into is just that it's always a surprise, you know?
Unless you're David. David knows exactly what's going to happen when he puts the lights up. He's like, I know exactly what's going to happen. You guys one and done.
Just watch.
One and done.
Watch the magic.
That should be one of the fun videos we make.
One and done?
No. Yeah, we'll pair you two together. And David gets to set up lights and pre-explain how it's going to look.
Yeah.
And we'll see. He only gets maybe like three shots.
To dial in.
To get it dialed in. And we'll see how long it takes him.
I need one.
See? Wow. He thinks he needs one.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Let's bring it.
I don't think so. So
I need about 100.
That's what I was saying the other day. I was like,
my modifier choice. Yeah,
with continuous light, I was saying it. You're probably gonna, you know, spend less time, you know, capture, look, you know, figure it out, move it.
Yeah, I think the continuous light. It's just, you know, those micro adjustments to get things feathered the right way and.
I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to the quality of the pictures you want to take. So, you know, if you're one and done, that's fine. But
yeah.
Hey.
You know, some people are okay with that.
No, you fit right in on this podcast. You just stay around all day, you know?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Well, maybe I will.
Yeah.
You know,
we should do it. We got another one coming up soon in, you know, 10 minutes.
Another one.
Let's just keep him. Let's just keep him.
Let's keep him here.
Sounds like a good idea that we didn't plan out earlier.
There's no way we've already talked about this.
God.
Okay, so what was the question again?
Constant light. It's you turn it on and it's on, and then you turn it off and it's off. So
one of the things that's nice in a workshop, though, is that like you're not constantly having to deal with like triggers and stuff, so you can kind of work with it. Like,
is that why they call them constant lights? You're not constantly dealing with triggers. Sorry, these jokes.
Is there a sound effect for that? I could just, I mean, I'd be happy just to listen to the sound effects the whole time.
You know what? I'm going to give you this for the next one, and you go crazy just based off of what I labeled it.
My friend, whenever we're talking, we get on Clubhouse sometimes because we're both kind of autistic, both of us. So whenever I say, whenever I start going off into one of my kind of autistic rants or whatever, he'll just play a sound effect on there. He's like, okay, let's wrap it up. Yeah. Land the plane.
It's like come the Chappelle, man. Wrap it up sound.
Yeah.
They start
the
playing
Oscar
it.
Music.
My
Oscar
friend, music. They'll yeah. be like, okay, the plane's coming around. Zoo, you're going to land that plane. The story just keeps going on and on.
That was good. No, that's not that good.
No.
Wow.
That was poor timing.
Our audience is really going to love this.
Yeah, this, no. Well, I say we wrap this one up. We get ready for the next one, and you know, we see how we let Jason loose on the next podcast.
He hasn't come out of his shell yet?
Well, you know, I'm working on new material. Yeah. You know, this is like I gotta put that together my hour.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but you know, I did anyway. Wow.